Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Sam Vecenie. Where are you on Coby White?
What he's really good at is pushing in transition and creating those odd man opportunities. What he is a little bit less good at right now is when you get him in half-court settings, kind of using a live dribble and being able to create exceptionally well and snake through pick and rolls and get all the way to the basket. He took under 2 shots per game in the half-court this season at the basket. That is a remarkably low number for a point guard. Does have a nice step back pull up game that I think will translate pretty well, but there is real potential that he's kind of a backup combo guard. He does have the elite mix of size and speed, 6'5" with his lightning quickness in the backcourt, but I don't think it'd be a bad pick for the Bulls. I have him at number 7 on my board, but he is a guy that there are mixed feelings for a lot of the reasons that I've said.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Coby White's high school coach, Rob Salter, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. We are going to talk to Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo at 10 o'clock, midday midway at 10:40, and surprises to come here on this Friday edition. Happy summer, by the way. Summer solstice is today. This is actually the first day.
Feels like it.
Of summer.
We did it.
And yay. And the sun is actually out. So we got a lot to do today and look forward to doing it. 312-644-6767 is our number at WSCR The Score. You can email us at Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. Go there to listen to us live where we stream at 670thescore.com. You want to send a text? It's Friday. Maybe get a wayward sext. It happens at 67011. When you send either, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein underscore MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Oh, the emotions of the NBA draft.
Oh, my God. I know. It was a
wreck. Seriously. That was a
wreck.
Thing.
It really was. I mean, when that RJ Barrett thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh. My daughter said, why are you crying?
Because it was stunningly emotional.
He put his head on his shoulder.
All these kids are realizing their lifelong dreams. And
they're kids.
Coby White is 19.
They're kids. Even Zion Williamson is 19. A massive human being who happens to also be a kid.
He looked like a suit was painted on him last night. He's a giant human, but that's a kid.
When
that's incredible.
Download that app. You stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. The video feed is here. I know it because the lights are on and Brian Gertsch is here. And that feed is at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live. We have producers. They're Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and the man in the back, the executioner, doing what he does, Ray Diaz. And I tweeted it before the pick. That was the guy I wanted them to take. As soon as Culver went, I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. I mean, I know what he does. I know what he can't do. I know the work that he needs. I'm also heartened by the arrival of Chris Fleming and the arrival of Roy Rogers and knowing that they've got competent, you know, market quality assistance there to mitigate whatever the Jim Boylan factor is in this. I liked the way John Paxson phrased the reasoning. So, you know, get that ball and go. Get this guy in the weight room.
Yeah, do you believe that they're going to actually go? I mean, it's fascinating.
They say they are.
I'm not the first person to realize this or recognize it or point it out, but my God, does this team look good for everything Fred Hoiberg wants to do offensively.
Finally.
I mean, Jesus.
They've got the Hoiberg team in place.
You know, it's just, you've gotten younger and more athletic. Check, 19-year-old, one of the best scoring point guards. You heard Roy Williams say it. It's in a couple of different columns. He's the best scoring point guard that Roy Williams has ever had, and that's super. That works out real well for this team, and it's what you need. I wonder this, though, Dan, and you are the basketball guy. You and Rick are who I take my basketball cues from on this show. But it seems to me that this is a score-first type of point guard, right? You're going to have to work him back to the one spot, that, you know, traditional one spot or whatever. We're in a positionless NBA. But that's kind of the thrust of this. Zach LaVine ran a lot of point last season, and I understand his limitations there as well and the offense's limitations when he does, but I can't help but think that this is an even better pick than it might look. Because given Kobe White's limitations of running stuff in the half court, you heard Sam Vecenie in the open saying he took like two shots a night in the half court last year, his freshman year at North Carolina. So this is a guy that's kind of well-suited to defer to Zach in some of those situations, like let him kind of run some sets or ISOs, as it were, and let him kind of take over. To me, that's a pretty interesting and creative way to get around the fact that a rookie point guard almost by definition struggles in the NBA. I mean, that's just a tough thing to do.
It takes a minimum of half a year. They might use one thing you can do is have Chris Dunn take him around the league one time before you hand it off. I mean, I remember talking to Johnny Kerr about that right after they drafted B.J. Armstrong.
When you lied to get down to the front row of a press box.
Down to the court.
That's right, court level.
I scammed my way down there. He said, he told me at the time, he said, yeah, B.J.'s more of a shooter. He's really not that much of a point guard. He's more looking for his own shot. They're definitely going to let Paxson take him around the league once before they let this kid play. That was, and this is the oldest basketball truism here, is how hard it is to learn how to be a point. The physical demands of the position now, too. He's got to get bigger. He's got to get stronger. I hope the moment Kobe White goes in the weight room that Lauri Markkanen's already been in there for a while.
Yeah, that's, you want that kind of size. I think one thing you can point to with Kobe White is the work ethic. A lot of coaches like his size. I was reading through some of the comments that his, you know, some former coaches had kind of given about him and what he needs to do more. By the way, Rob Salter is going to join us in just a couple of minutes. He was Kobe White's high school coach from Greenfield High School. So we'll talk with him about the young man, the newest Bull. But I also think this, as you've put this guy on the team, I couldn't help but notice, you know, who he is. I read the Players Tribune piece that he wrote about the passing of his father when he, Kobe, was 17 years old, how close he and his dad were, how close his dad was to all of his friends, just seemed to be that kind of guy. And I, man, just taken in by what Kobe wrote on the Players Tribune just a few days ago. I don't know if you've read it as a Bulls fan. I know you have, Dan.
I have, yes.
But if you haven't, Bulls fan, riding around and maybe settling into work or whatever, at some point, you know, bookmark it over the weekend and give it a read. It's not going to take you a whole lot of time, but boy, is it gripping, and it really lets you know who this guy is as he enters his professional career.
This segment's brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running with live racing and entertainment at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Start your weekend right. Leave work early today for Miller Lite Party in the Park. Live music, food, and $3 drink specials. Visit arlingtonpark.com for details and VIP experiences. Looking forward to a conversation with Kobe White's high school coach right after an update.
White, the speed and slam! And a chance at three.
Watch him turn the corner, and if you just for a second aren't back there waiting for him, it's way too late.
Kobe!
Let's talk to someone who knows the newest Chicago Bull well, the man that coached him in high school. This is Bernstein and McKnight, Sports Radio 670 The Score. We're your midday show from 9 to noon, and we are joined now by Rob Salter. You can follow him on Twitter at GFS Basketball. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Rob, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Congratulations. I know it's always great to have a kid you coached go so high in the NBA draft. What did you think of Kobe White when he first got onto your team? We're talking freshman year. What did he look like then, and what were his biggest growth points over the four?
Well, you know, when Kobe played, you know, he played varsity as a freshman, but when he came to us, he was about 6 foot, and he was not athletic. You know, his athleticism hadn't kicked in. But he just still had a knack of putting the ball in the hole in so many ways. And you just didn't see that very often. He still could shoot it, but he just scored it. We used to joke that he had a great layup package because, you know, he couldn't jump back then. But then his athleticism kicked in going into a sophomore year, and he grew 5 inches to 6'5". And to go along with being the hardest worker I've ever seen, it, you know, the rest is history. He became the North Carolina all-time leading scorer. So, yeah, but back in the year, he's always had a great feel for the game. He's always been able to score in a variety of ways. And now, as he's gotten stronger, and more athletic. It just continues to improve.
What was the recruitment process like? You know, we know how it works here in Chicago, where it's completely different the way things are with the way the Chicago public schools function and the AAU circuit and all that. What's it like for you, your interaction with various college coaches that are coming by asking you about him? I mean, they want to watch him practice. They want to talk to him. How much of a gatekeeper are you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had pretty much every, you know, big school in the country wanted, you know, was following Kobe, recruiting Kobe. They did a great job recruiting Kobe. So, you know, he kind of came out of – he really jumped on the scene his sophomore year, his high school season, into his AU season with CP3. And it kind of grew from there. But, you know, Coach Williams did a terrific job. And we kind of have – we have a thing here called Greensville Family here. And, you know, obviously you've heard of the Carolina family, and I think that had a lot to do with, you know, one reason of many why he chose the Tar Heels.
Talking with Kobe White's high school coach, Rob Salter. Again, follow him on Twitter, at GFS Basketball. He's at Greenfield High School there. Rob, I'm wondering, one of the things that got talked about when Kobe was drafted to the Bulls at 7 last night is his ability to be a, I don't know, pure point guard, a guy who can facilitate the offense, about 4 assists or so his freshman season at North Carolina. What were his assignments for you in terms of, you know, kind of distributing a little bit more? We could talk all about his scoring. He seems to be fantastic at it. How do you think he can shift gears a bit to distribute some?
Oh, he definitely can. I mean, people don't look at the stat in high school where he averaged, you know, 9 assists also. You know, for us, he had to score so much to us. We played a really tough schedule for us to have a chance to win. But, you know, I mean, he makes the right play. His IQ is off the chart. You know, and you put talent around him, he's going to get them the ball. I mean, you know, the guys love to play with him. He's going to put pressure on the defense to open things up for the other guys around him. And he's going to make the right play. So, yeah, that does not worry about me at all when it goes to the next level. His teammates will love playing with him.
How much structure was in your offense, and how quick a learner is he? Because sometimes we see rookie point guards are just so overloaded with information. At the NBA level now, they have so much data. They're so deep into the analytics. I'm just wondering at what speed, what kind of bandwidth they're going to be able to employ to get him completely up to speed with NBA stuff.
Oh, he's going to pick up really quick. He's a sponge, you know what I mean? You know, we were up and down here, but, you know, also I tried to prepare him for college, and, you know, I think one of the toughest positions in college basketball is being the point guard at the University of North Carolina with their system, and he jumped in as a freshman and picked it up really, really quick. So, I mean, his IQ and his knowledge of the game is at the top. So he's gonna work at it. You know, he's gonna watch film, he's gonna study, he's gonna ask questions, because I think he wants to be the best. And he's going to definitely lean on other people for help with that, but he's going to pick it up pretty quick.
He also seems like just a sweetheart of a kid. I mean, he really does. And so many of the kids did last night,
oh, yeah.
Really. I mean, just a genuinely nice kid. And does he have the edge where he's going to be able to deal with these, you know, grown-ass men who are not going to be taking it easy on him?
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing that's great. He is such a great kid, and just he has a great family. But when he steps on that basketball court, he's the most competitive person I've ever seen, you know. And even, you know, one of the biggest compliments, Coach Williams kind of said the same thing about him, compared him to Tyler Hansbury. You know how much he loved him when he was at Carolina. But Kobe just competes every single second. He's coming at you for, you know, an NBA, what's that, 48 minutes? he's going to come at you every single play. And I think that's going to really – you know, the fans are going to fall in love with that because he plays so hard and he competes at such a high level and he shows his heart on the court. You know, I mean, you guys probably saw how excited he was for his teammate last night in the press conference when he heard where Cam Johnson got drafted. I mean, that's just how he is, you know. He's going to bleed Chicago Bulls, you know what I mean? And I just can't wait to see the great things he's going to do there.
Rob, I know you were at the draft with Kobe last night. I wonder, outside of hearing, you know, with the 7th selection, the Bulls pick Kobe White, outside of that moment, what one will stick with you for the rest of your life?
Oh, man, the whole day was just phenomenal. But just seeing the, you know, the hard work that this young man's put in, and he's had a dream, and the tough times he's gone through with his dad, and just, you know, he's been such a focused young man. To see it come to him achieve one part of his dream, you know, it was special. It was special for me. Obviously, it brought, you know, brought tears in my eyes, and there are a lot of people around him because he wants this bad. But you know, he did say something to me afterwards, you know, and which a lot of draftees do, you know. They're like, he's like, I'm gonna remember the ones that passed by me, coach. I said, there you go. I mean, that's how he is. You know, he's finding something to motivate him because he's gonna bring it every night. And I think the Chicago fans are going to love him. I really do.
Do you think he'll be able to survive releasing his shot where he does? It looks a little low to me, and it's not enough to panic over. But, you know, this is when we nitpick on things like this. Can that release point survive?
It can. I mean, it's funny. I mean, obviously, that's what the job of the NBA people are, is just to break down everything. You know, he's hurt. His arms aren't quite long enough. You know, his releases are low. But, you know, he's 6'5". You know what I mean? I'd worry about that release being low if he was 5'10 or 6 foot. But he's 6'5", and he's played against some unbelievable players, and I've never seen it be an issue. And the way he puts the ball in the hole and the way he shoots it, he's not going to change that.
Rob, thanks so much for hopping on. Really appreciate it. Congratulations again on your big part of Kobe becoming the 7th overall pick in the NBA draft last night.
Thank you for having me, and go Bulls.
Rob Salter, Kobe White's high school coach at Greenfield School, who was with him last night at the draft. All very good stuff. You want to hear from John Paxson?
I do want to hear from John Paxson, because apparently there's a philosophy that's been trying to be put into the Bulls for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and it might be they got it.
All right, well, maybe. Maybe they've just sort of found their way here with Doug Collins and John Paxson and Jim Paxson and what has become this college of coaches that sort of tries to move Jim Boylan where he has to go.
Can't help but notice it. Jim Boylan was the last name you said there.
Yes, because I don't really know what he does.
All right. Well, we'll hear from John Paxson about where the Bulls are headed after taking Kobe White out of North Carolina 7 overall. John, with some interesting things to say last night after the pick. We'll talk about it. Bernstein McKnight, 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're trying to build a team to play effectively in today's modern game. That means versatility in a lot of different areas. So the fact that Kobe can play both positions now. In today's game where, you know, you talk a lot about pure points, I don't know how many pure points we really have anymore. You know, the guys, you know, most really good point guards have a scoring component to them, an effective scoring component to it.
John Paxson should know, because that's kind of what he was, too. He was nominally a point guard, but also was known for being able to score when left open.
He's right, too. I mean, go through the point guards. There are some that are playmakers. I don't know that I'd call really any good point guards right now just pure playmakers, would you?
No,
there is a scoring component to just about every good point guard in this league.
And if they don't have one, they want one. I mean, Ricky Rubio isn't a great scorer.
He's a free agent. He's not on a team for a reason.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
If the first guy to jump into mind is somebody like Ricky Rubio, who is a great arranger of an offense and facilitator of an offense, but he just isn't a very good shooter.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this then. Do you put shooting, when you talk about the point guard specifically, in this modern NBA, the way John Paxson's talking about, do you put shooting and playmaking, getting to the bucket the way Kobe White does, with the speed he pushes the pace at, do you put those in the same, no pun intended, bucket when we're talking about scoring? Because I don't.
No, they're different, because when scoring, in large part now, something Kobe White is good at is foul hunting.
Yes.
And the ability to get an angle off of a ball screen, mm-hmm. which he has to learn, but he can get his own shot and draw fouls. He's an 80% foul shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the way, I mean, not everybody has to be James Harden, because, you know, I find that incredibly annoying. But in big situations, being able to get a step on your defender and create an angle for yourself, whether you're using a screen or not, that is also scoring. It is not just knocking down jump shots.
No, I think you're right. I think that's where the point guard needs to be as well. So John Paxson says, we are trying to assemble an offense that can play in the modern NBA.
It's great to hear.
Oh, yeah, but I'm so happy to hear it.
But to get to this point, if you really rewind the tape and go back to what happened when Hoiberg was let go. Remember Hoiball and drag screens and everything else. And then here comes Boylan, and he sets him back to the peach baskets. And then there was the intervention.
Yeah.
It has.
First there was the mutiny. Well, yes, there was the intervention.
First there was the little bit of mutiny.
Just a little bit.
And then there was the organizational intervention, which accomplished two things. It taught Jim Boylan that more possessions are better than fewer possessions, because you can score more points that way. So that was one aspect of this massive intervention.
Sorry, talking about this intervention is making me need an intervention.
That eventually succeeded. The other part of the intervention involved explaining that three is more than two.
Yeah.
Over here is three.
Uh-huh.
Over here is two.
We had to have a conversation about that.
A series of conversations and PowerPoint presentations. And eventually it sunk in that Jim realized that three is more than two.
And then the offense got better for a little while, and then everyone got hurt, and they shut things down, and then he started throwing Lauri Markkanen down on the block again because that's what he wanted to do. The poll is out at Bernstein_MCK. We've got a poll in the field. It's very simple, and we want your thoughts on it. Can Jim Boylan coach a team that plays a modern NBA style? You have two options. One is yes. The other is no. It's fairly simple.
I have voted. And here's the thing.
I can imagine what you vote.
It has been fascinating to watch them try to wrest control of the team away from Jim Boylan after naming him head coach and extending his contract. They got a legitimate offensive NBA assistant in Chris Fleming. They got a legitimate NBA defensive assistant from the most recently with the Rockets in Roy Rogers. So it's sort of the Ron Zook program here, where they're trying to claw back. And then when Michael Reinsdorf is asked about Boylan, he reminds us that Doug Collins is here.
Right.
Okay, so what does that mean? I know there's John Paxson, there's Jim Paxson, there's Doug Collins, there are the assistants that are being hired and assistants that were being removed under sort of odd circumstances with odd explanations as to why and how they're being removed.
Yeah.
But somehow, some way, they're de-Boylanizing the team. That's my hope.
Don't get me wrong. I'm thrilled with the Coby White draft pick. Absolutely over the moon about it, because I think that was the pick to make. I was, Rick talked about it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm with him lockstep to have moved anywhere in this draft, to moved up anywhere in this draft, to give up future picks, to give up assets in this draft, to get anywhere other than, I don't know, three, and even then I'm still kind of shrugging my shoulders, would have been malpractice. You know, to at this point in the rebuild and with this draft's lack of talent, top-end kind of talent, I'm not going anywhere for that. So I'm glad they didn't do that. They took the point guard instead of taking someone like Jackson Hayes, who I think is an interesting player, but like we heard from Sam Vecenie yesterday, to take three of those guys in a row, you know, centers with athleticism and good defense and not much of a jump shot. Like that would have been bad too. So you took the guy that both fits your positional need and fits the way the modern NBA is kind of working and is young and athletic and you didn't have to move around for. That's great. Is it weird, though, that I have this, like, strange... I'm a little angry that front office just got to take the guy in front of him and get it right. Like, it's like the
no,
kid...
No, this shouldn't be hard.
It's like
you,
the
no,
kid...
Don't be angry about
no,
that.
I just... This, after all of that, you get a draft that tried to screw you with the way the ping pong balls bounced, and now you just take this guy. You just do the right
thing
because
it's in front of you. They're allowed to catch a break. They're allowed.
I suppose you're right. I just have this weird lingering anger about nothing, I guess.
I'd let that go. I really would.
I'm not going to.
Let it go. Ryan in Lincoln Square is on the score. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to talk about you guys hating on Boylan in the 3-versus-2 thing.
Sure.
I mean, you have, you know, you call it the modern NBA. We don't all have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, et cetera. You got to be able to pound it down to the big man.
No,
be able to,
no,
yes,
no.
Hold on.
That's the worst shot in basketball.
Be, No, hold on. If you need a bucket and you don't have a big man you can throw it down to,
Brian, see, here's the thing. All the math has been done on this.
Look at field goal percentage.
We're going to do
the field goal percentage.
We're
going to
do the same intervention.
What's the field goal percentage of three?
Ryan, if you'll let me talk, I'll answer your question.
To be fair, you didn't let him talk.
Every
either.
Shot has an expected value. Every shot has an expected value. The post-up is the worst shot in basketball. It is the least likely to get you points on balance. You're shooting over another person. It is a defended shot. You are choosing to take a defended shot that is worth less. If you want to coach in the 1960s, feel free. I would prefer that we coach in the 2020s.
With that said, though, if they had someone that was skilled enough, like that was in their skill set, then you let them do it. However, they don't have that guy.
No, if you've got an elite, then you do what the elite is good at.
Correct, but even if you have
like
a big...
Carl Anthony Towns, like I actually think he could have gotten more touches, more post-ups last year.
See, I don't mind a big guy getting touches. I just don't want a big guy getting touches with his back to the basket and someone standing in between.
But the thing is, though, if that's what he's part of what he's good at, and I'm not saying the Bulls have that guy, but just if a guy is good at that, to play against a guy's strengths just because of what, you know, in theory, the math is,
mm-hmm. right?
Then that's dumb.
Well,
sure. You still have to get your guy, put your guys in their best spots to succeed.
Yeah, I'm not trying to find those guys. You know, like just on the list of skills right now, I said, hey, you know, he's really good down there in the low post. That was great in 1986. That was great.
But if you have that opportunity for a guy, it's also kind of dumb to limit your possibility of a good player because you don't like his type of skill set when a good coach can still build a solid offense around the skills of his best player or players.
Yeah, but if your best player is a guy who is taking a shot that is less likely to help you win, then it's a team construction issue.
Right, but that's for the average player, not for the guy where I'm saying it's a big part of what he does.
Like
Carl Anthony Towns, I think, is the dude because he's probably one of the best back-to-the-basket guys right now, but he also steps out and hits the three.
Yeah, if you look at Jokic... I mean, Jokic has all kinds of – he's got these fabulous feet and a bag of tricks where he can do all sorts of dancers' moves. But when he's facing the basket and maybe passing to find your open three, he's making you more likely to win. So, yeah, you're right. It obviously depends on the guy. I'm just not looking for those guys. I'm looking for all the points that I can get. Looking for the best talent that can put the ball in the basket, ideally, and have it be worth three instead of two.
We will check in with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports. He's their NBA senior writer on whether or not the Bulls took the best talent for their team. We'll take a look at the rest of the draft as well. Vince is going to join us in just a few. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.